Well, it started out with, no way I'm going. I'm not doing this. I don't have time for this. I'm too busy with my sport. My mom insisted. You need to go. You need to go to confirmation. I tried to convince her. She didn't batch any way and said, you need to go. She won. As I got into it, I remembered how I started out my doubts about my faith with my youth director. I came and had so many questions. How can the world be created in 6 days? And how about these miracles? How you make out of a few loaves and feed so many people? And how can a person be risen? And how can Jesus come back to life? How is this not possible? Not in our world. So the youth director listened and nodded and said a few things to me, some quite smart things, and I got some new ideas, but I wasn't ready to put my faith into this Christian faith. Today, I know that doubt is not a bad thing, that we all have it. Many of us start out with doubt. It is not the opposite of faith. Doubt is actually a phase before faith. In my discussion with my youth leader, we came to a point where he finally said, are you willing to put your trust and faith in God and see if God will come true in your life? There's no way around. Nobody ever will become a believer if you not ask God to meet you where you are. So I did. And at the time, I said, well, there is a challenge I have. I'm often afraid when I have to do tests at school. I put so much pressure on myself, and I study so hard, and then I get all nervous and worked up about, maybe you give me some peace. So this was my first prayer. But I wasn't convinced there was another side who would listen to my prayer, but I did it anyway, and it worked. I all of a sudden got more calmer, my grades got better, I felt God was there, God listened, God helped me. I had an encounter with God, I started my faith journey. I became a pastor, and now I'm here. We are in the Easter season, and when the risen Christ encountered the fearful and grieving disciples, their lives were changed forever. When they encountered the risen Christ, they realized what Jesus had said before he died. That he actually, what he said is all coming through. That everything he said was true. All of them had their own reasons why they hadn't believed what Jesus was saying. That he said, well, I will come back after 3 days. Jerusalem will be destroyed and it will be rebuilt. That's all metaphor, just like Jesus speaks in parables. So he didn't mean that. And so they were hovering. They were not believing, but when Jesus showed up, they realized they had this one-on-one moment with Jesus. Their fear and their doubt turned into faith. Well, Thomas wasn't there, one of them. When the risen Jesus appeared with the disciples. So they reached out to him. They invited him. So today I would like to focus on this encounter and the moment that the divine that impacted and changed everything, how Thomas experienced the divine in his life. So let's start with Thomas' story. And I like to do it creatively to share his story, how he had this encounter, how he had this meeting with Jesus that changed everything in a conversation he had with his son Eli. Now, Eli is getting married, and he got a little bit cold feet and nervous. So, Father Thomas reaches out to his son, Eli, and says, so how are you doing with getting married? Oh, I'm so nervous. My father-in-law, Abby's father, he is a very faithful man, and he has a lot of expectations, and I'm nervous that I make a mistake and not live up to his expectations. So, Father, how did you have such a strong faith? Tell me, how did this become in your life that you believe no matter what? Well, my son, I guess it wasn't always the case. I had times where I was filled with doubt, and doubt runs in our family. But I had my own experience and encounter with our God, and that taught me how merciful and gracious this God is. So Eli, I'm going to tell you now my story, but this is my story. And you will have your own in your own life. So here's my story. I see myself as someone who likes facts and sees the world how it is. Some of my friends call me a realist. Someone who looks how the world is, who tries to fix things, who tries to have some control. But I got my own lessons. And I had to learn that my reality, how I see the world, is quite different how God sees it. So after Jesus died, reality set in. I got back to my old work. I had a shop in Jerusalem, so I went there. But my friends didn't let go of me. They were still hovering in their room, hanging on the past, and I don't know what they're waiting for. Working out their grief, I guess. I'm a realist. I went back to work. Work hard. They showed up and said this stuff to me. I said, "What are you talking about?" They said, "We have seen the Lord. We have seen the Lord. Are you with me? We have seen the Lord. And he wants to meet you." Meet me? I know that Christ died. I saw him on the cross. Let it go. Move on. Keep the positive things you learned from him, but move on. No, come, come. A week later, they were hanging out together. So I said, well, one more time. I spent 3 years, so what is one day more with them? Okay. So I showed up. And there he was. Jesus shows up. Jesus came again. And he looked at me. And he spoke and said, "Thomas, here I am. Look at my hands. Look at my side. Do you want to touch it? Do you believe that I'm resurrected?" He offered to put my hands into his wounds. But the truth is, I didn't need to put my hands into his side. I did not touch the wounds in his hands. What I realized at the moment was that what is internal, what is eternal, is invisible. I felt more than ever God's love, that Jesus really died for me. I learned that I must trust in God's mercy rather than in my ability to figure everything out. I believed. But it was not because of what I saw or what I touched with my hands. I believed because I experienced the mercy of God. That's the source of my belief, son. Listen, what I'm sharing with you, that there is a God who loves you and me and has shown mercy to us, even if we have doubts. Eli looked at his father and asked, "Father, do you mean from that time on you always trusted and never questioned or doubted your faith in God?" "Of course, my son. I have doubted myself many times after that, and I even doubted God. I questioned my faith. But I have experienced a God who allows me to have doubt and questions. It is in my nature to doubt. And I think you have inherited this family trait. But let me be clear. I'm convinced it was not my believing or my doubt that brought me to Christ and that Christ is alive. Jesus was able to handle my doubt and was not put off by it. What changed everything was that Jesus made a special effort to meet me where I was and to show me mercy. He showed me mercy and grace, not because of my doubt, but because of my need to be in control and have proof of everything. Well, what really boils down to is that I wanted to run my life. I want to be in charge and I want to be my own Lord. But now, throughout my life, this Jesus continues to meet me, to continue to show up and show me mercy and grace and be right there. Jesus opened a new reality. My reality was, prove it, I believe it. I see it, I believe it. That's my reality. But now I learned there is a much deeper, a much more powerful reality. This is the reality of love. That love truly changes the world. That love truly wins. Each day I'm in the presence of my Lord and I'm a recipient of this love and God's grace. I believe Jesus wants to meet me and wants to meet all of us. But sometimes we do not get that it is Jesus who is reaching out to us. Son, I believe you will have your own encounter with Jesus, maybe today, maybe very soon. Eli looked at his dad and gnarled his hands and tried to imagine that these hands could have touched the Lord's side, could have touched the Lord's wounds, but he didn't. He didn't. Now Thomas reached out to his son. He embraced him and shared a special blessing that he learned from Jesus. He said to his son, "Blessed are you who believe without seeing. Blessed are you. Thanks be to God." Now think about, friends, do you remember when you had your encounter with the Lord? What was it? What was the situation? Maybe it was a very painful situation. Maybe it was a very joyful. Whatever your situation, did you ever felt that God was really close and was right there for you? Well, I'm going to share with you how I, a week ago, encountered, and I was overwhelmed, and I just watched it in front of me unfolding. It was Good Friday. Here, we were gathering in the church. We had a real Jesus, believe it or not. Real Jesus showed up. And we had real disciples, all dressed up. And wherever Jesus went, the disciples followed him. He didn't have to say, give commands or whatever. Jesus moved, the disciples moved. We started out in the sanctuary with palms celebrating Jesus entering into Jerusalem. Hosanna, Hosanna. And then Jesus wanted to eat with his friends, wanted to have the Pesach, the Passover meal, remembering what God did with the Israelites, how he moved them into freedom. And so we moved, Jesus walked, we moved and followed him in a room. Here, Jesus said, very quietly, he looked around, he broke bread, we started eating, and then Jesus got up. He got up from his chair and he took one of his disciples with him. He says, "You come with me." They followed him. They didn't argue. And then he sat down. He went on his knee. The disciples sat down and he started washing the disciples' feet. And I saw all this happening and they just moved and they followed. And I saw what it did to the disciples, how they were overwhelmed what Jesus did for them. Someone touching their feet put warm water over their feet. And then it happened that the disciples felt like moved and they said, "We want to wash other people's feet too." So they got up. And then they asked others. I was one of them. I sat down. I was so touched by it when my feet were washed. And then Jesus got up again and he moved. The disciples got up, no questions, no asking, "Jesus, where are you going?" And Jesus walked into a beautiful garden. And he said, "I need to pray because I'm facing the greatest challenge, the greatest pain in my life. I need to pray to God." And without instructions, without saying, "Do this, do that," the disciples went down on their knees. There were mats on the floor. They started praying first, and then they fell asleep. And then the sisters and brothers of the disciples showed up, and the friends, and they were kneeling as well and sitting all on these mats, and Jesus in the back, kneeling and praying to God. And then we went into the sanctuary. There was a cross, and we wrote down all the things that are between us and God, all the troubles, all the things we are not feeling good about ourselves. We wrote down and put it on the foot of the cross. We sang. In these moments, I felt Jesus showed up. Jesus is with us. Jesus is all about grace and mercy. I hope and pray that today, this week, will be a very special week. We are in the Easter season, that you also will experience, will meet the risen Lord in your life. It might be at work. It might be at home. Be aware. This afternoon here at church, We're going to have a funeral, a memorial service for a person who died tragically, Thomas Lemke. May we find that this service that we are going to have for his life, to remember his life, will bring comfort and hope through Jesus, who said at the funeral of his friend Lazarus, he said this to all of them, "I am the resurrection and the life. He who believes in me, though he may die, he shall live. And whoever lives and believes in me shall never die." "Do you believe this?" he asked. And they said, "Yes, we do." May Christ's presence give us hope and light to make it through this time of grief. Meeting Christ, who knows about suffering, pain, torture, death, becomes very relevant and real when we think about AJ, the 5-year-old boy from Crystal Lake. When we think about the 9-year-old boy who drowned in Bangs Lake in Wakanda. When we think about the 350 people who died on Easter morning in Sri Lanka through terror attacks. Very tragic. Many people are feeling the pain and are angry and are grieving these terrible, heartbreaking losses. None of us can explain or should explain and make any sense of these heinous acts of violence. But there is Christ, the one who died a painful death on the cross and came back to life after 3 days. He wants to walk with us in our grief and pain, bringing healing into our wounded hearts. He gives us hope that resurrection is real, and he will give us hope and strength to get involved, not being passive and say, "Well, this is what it is." No, getting involved by saying, if we see there is pain, if we see injustice, if we see that parents don't take care of their children, we are going to step in, because that is what Jesus would have done and help. We always look out for the ones who are weak and poor and treated poorly. That is what Jesus would do. Because of the risen Christ, we will be empowered to say the right words. And we will meet Jesus right there in these moments when we step in. The risen Lord wants to meet us, wants to meet you and me when we are behind locked doors of fear, pain, or passivity, or deep grief. He wants to be with us when we are traveling, and some of us do, on the high road of life and feel we have everything in control and everything is going as planned. Even in these times, Jesus wants to meet us, and he's always searching out, and he's going to find us, and he's offering us mercy and grace. He's going to say the right words to us that we need to hear. It might be peace. It might be forgiveness. Might be that our heart need to be filled with love. The risen Christ has what we really need. And here's the powerful thing, how he acts, continues to act. He's breathing into our life the Holy Spirit, who will connect us with the Father in heaven, and he will give us renewed faith to live and give us energy to step in where there is need, where people are alone, where people suffer, where people are lost. The Holy Spirit empowers us to build faith communities where others can hear and experience that Christ is alive, and together we can make a change in this world so that there is less suffering, less pain. We are not helpless because Christ is alive. He is among us and he will empower us to step in. Jesus is on the lookout for us in this moment. He knows where we are in our journey, and may we all encounter the risen Lord and respond to him just as Thomas did, "My Lord and my God." My Lord and my God, I pray now to you. I thank you for reaching out to me in so many ways. And I know you're going to reach out to all of us. And you have a sole purpose of being together with us and giving us peace. In you, we have life abundantly. In you, our fears and our doubts lose the power they have over us. In you, we find our way. Let us all confess from our heart, "My Lord and my God, I love you." Amen.